Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to San Clemente Punk for August 8th, 2011. Excuse me, tonight is going to be a great show, a show I'm really looking forward to. I'm lucky enough to have Johnny Bonnell as our guest, a man known for his work in the Swinging Utters, Filthy Thieving Bastards, and one of my favorite side projects of his, Drug Lords of the Avenue. We're also going to play a lot of great punk music for the first hour. We're going to catch up with Johnny and talk about the Swinging Utters, the Filthy Thieving Bastards, and the Drug Lords of the Avenues. We have quite a bit to cover music-wise, but before we get into this, San Clemente Punk is probably part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. The Fighting Words Radio Network was conceived, managed, and owned by Robert Anthony Carroll. Unfortunately, Bobby passed away June 18th, and this show, as well as any show on the Fighting Words Radio Network, is dedicated in the memory of my brother. We're also proudly sponsored by Dr. Kathleen M. Carroll, who practices psychiatry out of Brandon, Florida, at the Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates. That's at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. You can get a hold of Dr. Carroll and any of her partners at the Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates at area code 813-689-2466. Okay, let's get into some music. Tonight we're going to start off with Mouthpiece. There's a lot of things you can say about Tim McMahon and Mouthpiece. But right now, today, we're going to say congratulations. Tim and his lovely wife, Tracy, have just welcomed a new family member. Travis Michael McMahon was born on last Wednesday. Tim the Proud Papa is scheduled to play the This Is Hardcore Fest in Philly this coming week. I saw Mouthpiece in May in Pomona, California with Youth of Today. And if the show in Philadelphia is anything like that, it's going to be, and Youth of Today is also playing that show, it's going to be a great, great show. The band has not lost a step, and San Clemente Punk and the Fighting Words Radio Network really wish the McMahons, Tim and Tracy and their kids, and especially Travis, all the best. And congratulations to my good friend Tim McMahon and Tracy and his fantastic family. We're going to start off tonight, with a Mouthpiece song. This is Mouthpiece with What Remains.
Mouthpiece.
Okay. That was Mouthpiece with What Remains. And again, we want to congratulate Tim and Tracy on the birth of their son, Travis. Good luck. And, you know, keep making great punk. Another good friend of the San Clemente Punk Show is Tommy Guns. Tommy is currently a contestant on Hell's Kitchen on Fox TV under his name Tom Stevens. Tommy is giving him hell. I've watched some of the episodes that he's been on, and I don't watch that show, but when I heard Tommy was on there, I definitely watched. And he's giving him hell, and hats off to him for making it to the final 12. And tonight's another round. I'm pulling for Tommy. Tommy's a great guy. We've had him on the show, and we're going to get him back on the show for an interview. But this song is a song that my brother loved, Fallen, by Guns on the Run. And this is off the Spirit is Eternal CD that came out on Warbird Entertainment Records last year. This is a great song. I love this song by these guys. This is Guns on the Run with For the Fallen.
Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear? Or peace so sweet? At the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Why hate evil against a hero called him from the band? The quality soldier,
Okay, that was Guns on the Run. They are a band on the Warbird Entertainment record label. That was off Spirit is Eternal, and that was For the Fallen. Special Duty started out in 1977 in Colchester, England. The original incarnation was around from 77 to 83, and then Special Duty reformed in 95 and are still around today. They were started by Steve Aragon and Steve Duties with Nigel Baker. The band formed after the boys saw the adverts in Colchester. Steve, and Nigel did not know how to play any instrument at the time, but that didn't stop them. They were originally going to go under the name Expelled, that's X-Pelled, but this is Special Duties with a song based on serial killer that was actually put to death here in Utah, Gary Gilmore. This is Gary Gilmore's Eyes.
Stop! it up. Out! Fast down! Adapt! Surfers, we're not. Skateboard, we do. We have the fun. We're the new crew. Crew. Bands like I bought them out.
Beast Fight and Bong Out by JFA. The Generators have been around a very long time. They started in 97 by a group of LA punks who had been involved in the punk scene since the 80s. Now on the DC Jam record label, the Generators have put the finishing touches on a much-anticipated 8th release, Last of the Pariahs. Last of the Pariahs is due for release in early September. It was produced by legendary producer Richard Mauser. Dougie Dagger and the boys were promised a U.S. and European tour soon. This is a sneak peek at Last of the Pariahs. I got this actual track from DC Jam Records. You can find that at DC Jam, not Jams, DCJamRecords.com. You can go check out that label. That label has bands like Trusty, JFA, TSOL, The Generators, Frontside 5, Machine 22. It's a great label. Check it out, DCJamRecords.com. This is The Generators, though, with You Against You. the Generators with You Against You. Marianne Joan Elliott Said was the real name of polystyrene of the X-Ray Specs. X-Ray Specs was a punk band fronted by the very conspicuously voiced Styrene, joined by bandmates Jack Airport, Paul Dean, Paul P. Harding, and Laura Logic. Styrene was inspired to form a band after a Sex Pistols show. The X-Ray Specs were one of the more popular punk bands to first incorporate a saxophone into the band's distinctive sound. This is X-Ray Specs with one of their well-known or popular songs, if you will. But this is X-Ray Specs with O Bondage Up Yours.
O Bondage Up Yours. 1, 2, 3, 4!
Styrene with X-Ray Specs, and tragically, Polly died earlier this year from breast cancer that had gone to her spinal column, and it's really a shame. Blackfoot 56 is a Celt punk band from Chicago. They are a fixture on the Cornerstone Festival. Blackfoot 56 has been playing a brand of punk that is full of energy and heart. Next week, Tobin Bawinkle from the lead singer from Flatfoot 56 will be the guest on San Clemente Punk. Tobin, together with his brothers Justin and Kyle, are in Flatfoot 56, along with mandolin player Brandon Good and Eric McMahon, who plays the bagpipes for them. Flatfoot 56 has been around since 2000, and this is one of my favorite songs by these guys. This is Flatfoot 56, and this song goes out to my brother. This is Amazing Grace. Thank you.
Lower the curtains
But they, Allergic to Whores is a Cleveland, Ohio hardcore outfit. They play a great brand of hardcore, and I really like these guys. But this is Allergic to Whores with To Hell and Back. American Werewolves are also a Cleveland-based punk band. Their latest release, Wanderers Forever, is a very good piece of punk music. Trevor Moment was a guest on San Clemente Punk a while back. Trevor told us about the Cleveland scene and growing up in it. American Werewolves' songs, King of the Cleveland Street, tells the story of their punk roots. This is American Werewolves with that very song. This is Kings of the Cleveland Streets.
Come on.
Okay, that was American Werewolves. Trevor Moen and the boys, Simone Robb playing guitar for him. Out of Cleveland, they are on the American Warbird Entertainment record label. That was American Werewolves with Kings of the Cleveland Street. Goldfinger consists of John Feldman, Charlie Paulson, Kelly the Mew, and Darren Pfeiffer. The Los Angeles ska band has been around since 1994. Goldfinger was a fixture on the college radio, which led to a major release and label signing. This is one of their songs that got a lot of airplay on just the regular radio. This is Here in Your Bedroom by Goldfinger. With Roger Miller, Clint Conley, Peter Prescott, and Martin Swope. Although they only released one album with the original lineup, they were often noted as one of the most influential post-punk bands of all time. After breaking up in 83 due to Swope's tinnitus, they reformed in 2002 when Bob Weston joined the band. This is Mission of Burma with How I Escaped My Fate.
Yeah.
Okay. That was Mission to Burma with That's How I Escaped My Fate. We are going to play one more song before we get Johnny on the show. It is Dr. Drug and the Possible Side Effects. Dr. Drug and the Possible Side Effects are about to hit the road. They're going to do a short West Coast tour. They start out in Sacramento August 31st, then they hit the San Fran Bay the 1st, then they go to Santa Rosa on the 2nd, Portland, Oregon on the 3rd, Olympia, Washington on the 4th, and Emmett, Idaho on the 5th. Dr. Drug plays a very emotionally charged brand of punk, and they really believe in what they play. They're a very good band out of Salt Lake City. I'm very impressed with these guys. This is Dr. Drug and the Possible Side Effects with Breakface.
You have the right to remain silent.
I choose to waive that right. No!
Oh! make a great water heater even better? That's easy. You take the brand most purchased by plumbing contractors, Bradford White, and add the awesome technology of the Icon Control System. The Icon System is an electronic gas control available only from Bradford White. When used with the exclusive Icon System accessory packages, increases usable hot water by up to 50% or more and can improve energy efficiency by up to 36%. In addition, there's leak protection, programmable control, and automatic water shutoff for peace of mind. To find a plumbing contractor and learn more about the Icon Control, visit BradfordWhite.com.
Whiteworth Radio Network listeners, don't forget to tune in to Big Dog Radio, airing Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Whiteworth Radio Network. This show will fill you in on the latest news and happenings in the fight world, delving not only into the boxing world, but also including the latest news from the biggest names in the world of mixed martial arts. Stars from both disciplines are featured weekly and call in to talk to the guys. The show always welcomes input from the listeners, so call into the show at 347-202-0832. The show is hosted by Boxing Talk senior writer, the Big Dog Benny Henderson Jr., and is co-hosted by two of the biggest names in the world of boxing radio, Big Time Timmy Cudges and Bob Carroll. Make sure to tune in to Big Dog Radio Show, airing on the Fight Wars Radio Network, Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, tonight artist Dan Clemente Punk, we're joined by the multifaceted and extremely talented Johnny Vanell. Johnny has been a big part of the legendary Swinging Udders since its inception in 1987. Starting out in Santa Cruz, California, the Swinging Udders moved to San Francisco and are currently calling that town home. Johnny is also part of side projects Filthy Thieving Bastards and his newest side project, Drug Lords of the Avenue. Johnny has been a part of punk for a very long time, and San Clemente Punk is very proud to welcome Johnny Vanell to the San Clemente Punk webcast. Johnny, how are you tonight? Johnny, how are you tonight?
Hello?
Johnny.
I can't even hear you, man. You're breaking up way too much.
Shoot. How about now? We're having some difficulties, guys. Let's see if... Johnny, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you right now.
Okay. Johnny, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you.
Good, good. Now, Johnny, you and I grew up in pretty much the same era. What made you gravitate towards punk? Was, especially since we were, subjected to that, the old hippie crap that our parents listened to?
I couldn't hear part of that, but my brother sort of got me into my brother's involved. I got me firsthand when it came out with Sex Pistols and the Clash. Specials. I just liked the way it sounded and liked the message in it. So I just started picking up records and cassettes, 8-tracks, all that stuff. And it went on from there.
Okay. Now, is there anyone in your family that really instilled the love of music and your musical talent? Did you get that from anybody in your family?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Okay. Was there anyone in your family that really instilled your love of music in you?
Yeah, like I said, my older brother, he had a passion for collecting music. Didn't play it, but he had all types of different styles of music, and I got to hear it all as it came out, so I was pretty lucky that way. So I think my brother is probably the main reason why I got into music.
Now, what part of California did you grow up in, and was there a very active punk movement there?
Yeah, a place called Santa Cruz, California, and there was a few clubs there that stayed strong for a few years, and we got to see a lot of great bands that came through. A place called Club Culture, where I saw most of the acts, but there was also places to drive that weren't that far away, like in San Francisco and Monterey and San Jose as well. Santa Cruz, small beach town, we got pretty big punk bands coming through, and it was it was pretty cool to just be able to show up with a handful of change and be able to get into the club culture. So I lucked out.
Absolutely. Okay, now, Johnny, when punk first started becoming a part of you, how did your family feel about it?
They were a little weird, just because, you know, you put on the Sex Pistols record or something like that, and my mom and dad would probably freak out a little bit just when a song like Bodies came on or something like that. And
right.
Just because of the curse words, and I was raised Catholic and went to church every Sunday, but I'm not practicing that now. But, yeah, I mean, it was sort of frightening to them that I was listening to that, but they knew I was a good kid. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, just because I was listening to that style of music doesn't mean I was going out beating people up or, you know, I was really a friendly person as a kid, so.
Now, what was the first band that you joined, and did you play an instrument at first, or have you always sung?
No, always sung. It was Swingin' Utters, and we were pretty much a cover band in 1988. I think that's when we first formed. And, yeah, we just did early punk tunes from Clash, Sham 69, Descendants, Replacements, Sex Pistols, you know, anything that any band member wanted to play, we played. And we just played parties in Santa Cruz. And then Darius joined in the early 90s, and that's when we started doing originals, and we all moved to San Francisco and tried to make it as a legitimate band playing clubs up there. It took a while, but around 93, we started playing clubs at least 2 to 3 times a month in San Francisco. That's where we sort of got our start.
Okay. So when you guys started Swinging Utters, you must have been fresh out of high school. Were you guys playing together in high school? And how did the band form?
I was sort of a late starter. I started when I was 20, 21. So the rest of the guys were younger than me, and they were in high school or just getting out. But, yeah, it was I was sort of late coming to it. But it was sort of a nice thing to have a little bit of experience in life. And probably took away the nerves just because I was the oldest guy in the band.
Right. Now, when you guys first started, what bands, you know, really influenced the Swinging Utters early on?
It had to be the Pogues, Stiff Little Fingers, and the Clash, the Ramones. For some reason, for me, it was a lot of the British acts just because you always want to. We never got to see a lot of those acts because, you know, they rarely came over to the States. And, you know, that's why I gravitated towards the British stuff. The rest of the guys, though, they were into the American hardcore and punk rock as well. But, yeah, for me, it was Stiff Little Fingers. I really like the way Jake sounds on there. I think it's one of the angriest sounding records. And that's what really got me into music, just that style of singing.
Okay. Now, where was the first place you guys ever played as a band?
It definitely had to be some kind of party that we played in Santa Cruz. Are you talking about, like, a legitimate club or something?
No, just, you know, the first one that really meant something to you, the first show that really meant something to you as a band, as a Swinging Utters.
Probably opening up for Agent Orange like in 89 or 88. We had a friend that was going to college in San Diego, and somehow he got Agent Orange and he got us to open. But that was when we were a cover band. But that was probably the most exciting time for me because we were really young, really fresh, and, you know, we were just doing covers. So wasn't really considered, you know, some kind of band that everyone knew or anything like that, especially down in San Diego. But yeah, that meant a lot to us, and Agent Orange were really cool to us, you know, being from Northern California and not like following, they're really, you know, they're cool.
Now, Johnny, I want to play a song off Brand New Lungs by the Screaming Gutters, Lepers, Thieves, and Whores. Could you tell us a little about it before I play it?
Yeah, that's actually, I was listening to a lot of Romney's, and he has a song on his solo album called Lovely, and I just sort of took that melody and put my own lyrics to it and sped it up. So it's got sort of an early R&B sound to it, but with punk roots. No matter what, so I figure we should all pay attention to the underdog.
Okay. Well, this is Swinging Utters with Lepers, Thieves, and Whores. Okay, welcome back to Saints Mighty Punk, proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're joined by Johnny Bunnell of the Swinging Utters, the Filthy Thieving Bastards, and the Drug Lords of the Avenues. Johnny, when did you first realize that the Swinging Utters were really something special and that people were taking, you know, taking note and taking you guys seriously?
I guess it would be when other bands started asking us to tour with them, and namely when Lars from Rancid became friends with Max, the guitar player in our band at the time, and he produced Streets of San Francisco. I think that's probably the first time where, maybe this means a little bit more than it used to, and bands are starting to take notice. A band as big as Rancid was at the time, in the early part of it. And I think that's the first time when I thought we were starting to get a little bit of a following because of it.
Okay.
Was it strange for you guys to go from, like, house shows and basements and small venues to these theaters and legendary venues?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part of it.
Was it strange for you guys to go from, you know, smaller house shows and basements and such to these legendary theaters and just theaters and venues to play?
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the big venue, just because it's a little bit impersonal and you seem to be put on a pedestal automatically when you walk in there because the stages are so high and there's big air and stuff. I mean, it's cool to see the actual venue, especially if they have some kind of historical significance, but I just I prefer to play at a bar with maybe no stage or a tiny stage and just cram everyone in there. And, you know, have a drink with everyone after the show. I don't know. It just seems to be a little bit more inviting for people to come and see a show like that than to get up on a stage that's, you know, 6 feet, 7 feet off the ground and play a show that way. I'm just I'm more of a into playing bars and small clubs.
All right. Fair enough. Now, how did you guys settle on the name Swinging Utters?
It's kind of an unfortunate name. It was a joke at first because at the time we were a cover band and we weren't taking it that seriously. We just wanted to play a bunch of songs that we loved, and we knew it wasn't going to make us money or anything like that. So kind of came up with a name that would, you know, maybe make someone laugh and put us on a bill just because it was kind of a weird name, a funny name. And then as we got a little bit bigger and started writing originals, and we sort of stuck with it. So I tried to make the logo look a little bit more serious than the actual name and spelled it with T's instead of D's. And I don't know, it sort of grows on me now that I say it, but it's an important thing. I think the rest of the band feels the same way, but it came up a bit, and it was back when we were a cover band, so it wasn't really a serious frame of mind when I came up with it.
Okay. Now, what made you guys decide to relocate to San Francisco?
Santa Cruz was a bubble. I mean, we could only do so many shows and play so many venues without, you know, playing it too much and just people get out of it. So we figured that there was more clubs up in San Francisco, there was more of a scene. Plus, it's a really cool city, just to extend it. Put all our time and energy into it. And it paid off because I think it made us more well-rounded people in general, just to be living in a big city like that as opposed to a small beach. So it was a good experience all around.
Okay. Now, what label did you guys, did Swinging Utters first sign with, and how did that come about?
Nikki Garrett from UK Subs had a label called New Red Archives, and that was our first label. And I think he might have saw us open up for MDC or something like that in San Francisco, and then he approached us after the show, and then it went on from there. But he did the first record, Streets of San Francisco, and that was probably our first label that we could say that we were on.
Okay. Now, when the Swinging Utters first started off, there wasn't, you know, the saturation by the internet. And in order to be recognized, it had to be good. Johnny, the Swinging Utters gained a lot of fans during that time, and now that the internet is around, you have a lot of newer and younger fans. First, do you find that the newer fans are more ready-made because they watched, you know, a YouTube video of you guys maybe an hour before the show? And secondly, do you miss, like I do, the vinyl age of punk where you had something that you held in your hands and you know, you played the music and it may have skipped or you put it in a... Do you miss that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I still spin records. I don't have really a CD player or anything at home. Yeah, and cassette. I still have cassettes as well, and I play those just to bring back memories. But yeah, of course. I mean, the album. I'm more into the big artwork and
yeah
the pops and skips. That's character to the music. I don't know. Reminds me of parties we had where maybe someone scratched the record or something like that. But I prefer the old style of music, just cassettes, even 8-tracks for that matter. I had a car that played 8-tracks, and I thought 8-tracks sounded pretty damn good in my phone. Yeah, I mean, I can see it in certain kids that come to our shows, but you know, what are you gonna do? I'm not the type of person that gets all pissed off or bent out of shape. Any kid that comes to our show is someone that came to see you, so you might as well be friendly to them, you know. That's
right.
A pretty easy thing to do.
Right. Now, do you find that you are getting more ready-made fans due to the internet and really, you know, the saturation? Do you find that, you know, you're getting a lot of people that are like, hey, you know, I check you guys out, and I really like what you had, and I like what you got?
I think it's you that, but I have a feeling that the new fans are just either sons and daughters of older fans or friends of sons and daughters of older fans, because it seems like it's being passed down, and that's sort of a nice thing to see, because we've had fans that bring their kids their kids to our shows, and it's, you know, it's what's wrong. That's, I think that's really cool. I think it's awesome. I mean, I feel a little uncomfortable some of the subject matter in our music, but
right.
You know, I'm not their parent, so if
right.
it doesn't bother them, I think it's kind of a cool thing.
Okay. Now, Johnny, it's been more than 20 years since the Swinging Utters first came together. Did you ever think you'd be playing this long? Did you ever think it would last this long?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone thinks that. I think music is really short-lived most of the time. I just like doing it. I kind of think of it as just another form of art. And why not keep creating while you're still alive? It makes you a more interesting human. And I don't know. It seems like it should be done, or else it's a waste of talent, or a waste of good energy.
Right. Okay. Now,
something like a hippie, huh?
Now the band Swinging Utters still contains you, Greg, and Darius as their core and original members. What do you attribute the continuation of the Swinging Utters sounds to? And how you guys have held that core together?
I think the other members that sort of bailed out just had other better things to do or musical differences. We're still really good friends with every single member that's been in and out of the Swinging Utters. There's no hard feelings. It's just people went different ways, and it was understandable. I mean, going this long, that's bound to happen. I think me, Greg, and Darius are the mainstays, is because we sort of started it in the first place. I mean, it was sort of, we were work, I think, until Max joined. And then Max eventually left because of musical differences, and also he moved to New York, so it was really hard to keep a West Coast, East Coast, you know, band together. So, I think the reason why is because we all sort of lived in the same area and sort of were friends the longest.
Right. Now, Johnny, I want to play another Swinging Utters song. I want to play one of my favorite songs by you guys. It's Young Crumb Followers off the Taking the Long Way album. Could you tell me a little about the song before we play it?
What's the name of the song?
Young Crumb Follower.
Oh, Young Kung Fu. Oh, yeah, that's about, well, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, that's about, it's pretty much just thinking how I was as a teenager, and pretty much I thought that me and a lot of my friends were a bunch of F-ups. I don't know if you can say the F-word. Can you say the F-word on?
You sure can.
Okay, yeah. I think as a teenager, a lot of teenagers feel that way, that we're just fuck-ups, because it's a tough time to live. I know my daughter's going to be a teenager soon, and, you know, it's good to know, to have a realization that it's a tough time. It's a really tough time. Depression, addiction, certain things start popping up, ugly things, and Young Followers is pretty much just saying that, like, as a teenager, we're not all fuck-ups. It's just that you feel that way, and everyone feels that way, so you're in the same boat as all the other teenagers, not unless you got your shit together and you know, you're some kind of rich kid and just got everything handed to you on a plate. But, yeah, it's just more like relating to a teenager that constantly has this bad feeling about himself or herself, and just letting them know that, hey, man, we understand. It's everyone goes through that time.
All right. This is Swinging Utters with Young Krumpfauer. BlogTalkRadio.com. Tonight we're joined by Johnny Bunnell, frontman for the Swinging Utters, the Filthy Thieving Bastards, and Drug Lords of the Avenues. Johnny, again, thanks for joining us. Johnny, how did you form the Filthy Thieving Bastards?
When the Swinging Utters had some downtime, me and Darius, our first idea was to do a Pogue style band. Almost just doing Pogues covers and a few originals, but then it sort of went more towards just more freedom of music and not just being pigeonholed into punk. So we started doing different styles of music. But, yeah, it was mainly me and Darius just wanting to do keep busy and keep writing, going off in a little bit of a different direction in music and not have to take the swinging others with us, so to speak, just be able to have the freedom with a new band and a fresh start.
Now, who formed the Filthy Thieving Bastards with you besides Darius? Who was in the original band?
Randy, the drummer, owned Stout Recordings, and he was the engineer, and he also produced records there. He did a lot of bands on TKO label. And he plays drums, and he's an amazing drummer. He's like a jazz drummer, but he can play all styles of music. And Spike, who plays bass for the Swingin' Udders, plays bass.
Did we lose you, Johnny? Oh, we lost him. Okay. Let's try calling him again. Having some problems with the board, guys. Let me get a hold of him.
Hello?
Johnny.
Yeah, did I lose you?
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Now, although the Filthy Thieving Bastards and the Swinging Udders are different bands, did you guys share a lot of the same influences?
Yeah, definitely. It's just Filthy Thieving just gives us a little bit more freedom in writing different styles of music, but pretty much the same influences there. There's always going to be punk, of course, but there's folk and there's Dixieland and there's jazz and there's reggae and there's just everything that we can think of. Country's one of the main influences, but there's a lot of Swingin' other songs that have a country influence as well. Even it's just a little bit more freedom to do what we want and make it maybe a little more acoustic, less electric, even though we have electric guitars on a lot of the songs, but more percussion, just more freedom to do different styles of music.
Okay, now Filthy Thieving Bastards, their first release was a shortened release, Our Father Sent Us on TKO. Was this kind of a testing the waters type of release, or was it just to get the music out there that you felt you had to get out?
It was both. I mean, we just said, hey, man, we got some songs. Let's do an EP. TKO said they'll do it, and we thought, why not? So, it was fun to make, and it was pretty much just me, Darius, and Randy at that time. Spike coming in and doing bass here and there. It was kind of a three-man operation doing those first nine songs, and it was a lot of fun because it was something we'd never had, stuff we'd never done before in the studio. So it was a fun experience for me.
Okay, now when your next release came out, it came out on BYO Records with a melody of Retards and Broken Quills, which followed shortly after Our Father Sent Us. Was this music that you guys had already written?
A lot of it was, but Darius pretty much has back catalogs of songs from when he was a teenager up till now, so it's hard to tell when he picks out songs. Sometimes they come from a long time ago. Sometimes they're brand new, and he takes stuff from a long time ago. But for me, I just constantly keep writing So, because I know there'll be a time when a record will pop up, and then I'll just pick and choose if I think this would go better with Phil the Thievin or Swingin' Utters, or for that matter, Drug Lords. So, I mainly just write a bunch of lyrics, and then when the time comes up for recording a record, I start fiddling around with melodies.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions is, I mean, are you and Darius the type of musicians that you always feel like there's a song that needs to be written and that you write constantly?
Yeah, I guess that's the way to think about it, but I just think it's a lot of fun. I mean, just coming up with weird phrases and different ways of saying things and, you know, make it can't understand what we're talking about. I mean, I really like doing stuff like that. It sort of floats my boat. But yeah, it's not a matter of that. We got to get these songs out there, man. We got to. It's super important. It's more like more for selfish reasons. It's just a lot of fun for me. I mean, I just creating music is there's nothing in the world. I mean. People in other bands, they probably feel the same way, I know, but once the song's completed and recorded, it's beyond amazing. It's just such a great feeling because you created it, and you did it with other people, so that's even better. It's like, I don't know, meeting of the minds. It's something that's important for my well-being, I guess you could say.
Now, on the record, A Melody of Retards and Broken Quills, Greg Lischer of Camper Van Beethoven guests on several tracks. How did you happen to land him?
He's a product of Santa Cruz, so is Camper Van Beethoven. And we'd always see him at this pub we go to called the Poet and Patriot, where we drank there frequently. So we'd see him, we became friends, and he's a really nice guy, and he's an amazing musician, and I just, out of the blue, asked if he wanted to backstory, and I think first he did some stuff with Swingin' Utters. I think he did the song called Yesterday's Dog In. It's on a single, and after that, he's always been a friend of ours, so when Filthy Steven came around, when he wasn't busy, we asked him if he could do some guitar parts for the songs. And he did an amazing job. I mean, he's one take, dude, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that. I know he's an amazing musician. I didn't know he's a one take guy.
Yeah, I mean, not every single take, but not right. Every single song, but the majority of the time it's one take and he's done.
Now, Johnny, for And I Am a Son of a Gun, you landed Spider Stacy, another huge name. How were you able to pull that off?
His sister lives in Santa Cruz, I believe, and Darius's wife, I think, she's a daycare teacher, and I think she ran into Spider Stacy's sister's kid at the daycare, I think. I could be getting this wrong, but anyways. So Darius got to secondhand, got to meet and then Spider was like, hey, I got time off with the Pogues. Would you guys be interested in doing some Pogues songs and Philly Stevens songs and go on a little tour? So yeah, we were like, down with it, and he's a super down-to-earth dude. You know, no rock star in him at all, and super nice guy. His wife Louise is super sweet, and yeah, we just hit it off, and we did these little tours with him. Did some Pogue songs. They turned out really well. Good turnouts, a lot of fun, and hopefully we can do it again. I mean. And you know, and even record more with him. It's just, it's hard when he lives in New Orleans, and I think he has, I think his main house is in England. That's the only problem is it's, we're not living in the same area, but
right.
we definitely want to keep in touch and keep doing what we've been doing. Because I mean, why wouldn't you? He's for me is my childhood hero as well as you know Shane and the Pogues and all the guys in the Pogues. But it's hard to explain how amazing it is just to be able to hook up with a guy like Spider. It's you never thought that would happen when you first start a band. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, it's a huge thing, and I've heard that about him before. That he's a really down to earth guy, just a really great guy, very approachable. And I mean, he's made some of the greatest music I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Now, where are things with the Filthy Thieving Bastards now? Are you guys just on hiatus? Are you writing?
Yeah, we're pecking away at a new record, but. Yeah, there's been a lot of swinging other tours, and that's been keeping us really busy, and, you know, we're going to Europe. But we have a few shows coming up. We have both Swinging Others and Filthy Thieving Bastards are playing that. That's on August 20th through the 23rd or something like that in Seattle. And we play private parties and weddings and stuff like that just when those pop up. But, yeah, we try to keep busy. It's just tough when all the band members got kids and jobs and wives. And it's just really hard to tour, and especially when the Swinging Others are really busy right now touring. So, but when there's ever some downtime, we try to pick up and maybe get some new stuff recorded and maybe do a few weekend gigs here and there.
Right. Now, the Filthy Thieving Bastards have put out some great music, and your last two albums, My Pappy Was a Pistol and I Am a Son of a Gun, there's a rumor that was a nod to Roger Miller. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, that's a quote off that song Dang Me by Roger Miller, yeah. I mean, he's one of our main influences for Filthy Thieving Bastards, just because he's got that sense of humor and crazy
right.
style of singing. It's like, yeah, we did really dig a lot of his stuff. Yeah, I think Darius came up with that. It's like, well, we wanted to make that a double record because all that stuff was written at the same time. So it was supposed to be Papa with a Pistol, I'm a Son of a Gun was supposed to be a whole title, and it was supposed to be a double record. But BYO wasn't into double records. I think they probably lost a lot of money or something like that. So,
yeah,
they made it two single records, which is you know fine as long as it got out there.
Right. Now, Johnny, I want to play a song that seems really fitting right now for our times. Last of the Big Spenders, or Last of the Big Time Spenders. Can you tell us a little about this song?
I think I got that line from Raisin in the Sun. I'm not positive, but I think I got it from old movies from Sidney Poitier. Something like that. I think it's called Raisin in the Sun. I should do my homework on this shit. But, yeah, it just, it was said as a joke, and I thought, that's such a great line, you know. It's such like a cut down, but it's funny the way it sounds. It's like if you're going to say that, it doesn't sound like it's a big cut down. It sounds like it's you're making fun of someone in a jokey style. It's mean-spirited. But, it's kind of like a sarcastic way of titling the song. You know, because the song's pretty personal, but it's got whatever meaning you can get out of it. And that's how I usually write anyway. It's all self-interpreted.
All right. Well, this is Filthy Thieving Bastards with Last of the Big Time Spenders.
I'm going down to nowhere, going up to someone, I'm asking, would you care? I'm basking in the glare. I'm slowing down for North Flynn, showing up the big rig. Are you happy? Are you sad? Am I lonely? Are you mad? The breaking relations and faraway places for men in the wounds from the tribe. The faking elation on family vacation for shutting up all of the yards. I'm last of the big spenders with money from a lender. Wealthy, I'm wise in a filthy poor disguise. I'm last in line to win this. No hunger for this business. I'm sadly out of touch with the real need for a crutch. They're raking the nation with cheap legislation by sending the troops in the gap. Debating the stations with wordy translations, but we are not fools, we're not stopped. And nothing's gonna work until we tear this shit apart. And it's only gonna hurt until we swear this with the start. From the start. From the start. I'm a public display offender that's been returned to sender. I am real, but I'm hot. Can't afford the cost. I'm not Republican's offender, so that's my legal tender. Accept it while you can. I'm heading for Japan. They're wearing the rations instead of the fashions. America's stunned and annoyed. Very much better with our letter in the letters. It's time to give thanks and rejoice.
Okay, thanks for joining us tonight on San Clemente Punk. Tonight we have Johnny Bunnell of the Swing Yoders, the Filthy Thieving Bastards, and the Drug Lords of the Avenues as our guest. If you'd like to talk to Johnny, please call us at 347-202-0832 or click on the free Skype link on the show's page. Johnny, now we come to your newest side project, one that I really enjoy, Drug Lords of the Avenues. How did you come up with the name?
That's actually a Filthy Thieving Bastard song called Drug Lords of the Avenues. And, we were going to do Boondog Saints. That was one of them. Bay of Pigs was another of them. I think they just either used by some other band or one of the band members didn't like it. So I just started going through song titles of the bands I was already in, and Drug Lords popped up, and they seemed to like it, so we went with that.
All right. Now, how did Drug Lords form in 2004, and who's in the band?
Well, Matt Grayson, Jake Murray on bass, Jeremy Corky on drums, and Rob Pierce, guitar player. Matt Grayson plays guitar as well, and then I'm on vocals. So that was formed mainly at a place called Center Block, which printed T-shirts. He was in a band, and I can't remember the name of him. Damn. Anyways, he was sort of a hardcore band, and they're really into Slayer at the time, but their singer couldn't get his shit together, so he sort of split. And they were just looking for a new singer, and I said, I'll do it, but I can't do that style of music. If you want to, try something different, I'm down. But I probably don't have the vocal power to do a band that's really into Slayer or into that style of music. So they sort of worked with me on it and came up with some weird-sounding songs, and I put some weird lyrics to it, and that was that. I mean, they're all into different styles of music, so it's kind of a weird pool of different genres of music, but all connecting on punk. And I don't know, it's kind of unique sounding and weird sounding, but it's got a little more energy than the other two bands that I'm in, so it's kind of a good change of pace for me.
Yeah, now, when I first heard Drug Lords of the Avenues with Sing Songs, but I really became familiar with it and really liked it when I was given a Tale of a Rotten Orange CD on Orange Flight Records, and I heard the songs that you guys have on there, and, you know, it just blew me away. How did you guys come to contribute to the Orange Flight CD?
You know, man, I met the guy at a bar. He's in the Piss Pops.
Right.
His name's Greg. And,
yep.
Yeah, he just, he goes, would you be into being on this comp? And I was like, yeah, man, we any way we can get our music out there, that sounds great. And with Drug Lords, we record at at Matt Grayson's house. He has like a board, and we wing it. It's not the best sounding shit, but we like the way it sounds. It's got crazy energy to it. Things aren't, you know, at the right levels and all that stuff, but we like it. We like the way it sounds. It's you know, things pop at you, and plus, I'm not really into overproduction in the first place, even though a lot of our records have that quality sometimes. But for Drug Lords, it's always been a staple, and we had this song already recorded for the new shit that we're putting out. So when Greg asked us, I was like, yeah, well, I think we have a song already mixed, that Matt already mixed, that he could probably send it over to you. And he was down, so we did that, and we're happy that we got some music out, you know, pretty much for free, and it's a great comp, you know what I mean? We're surrounded by a bunch of great bands, so can't beat that, right?
Yeah, that is, I love that comp. I play every song off that comp on my show. It is a great comp. And that's what's coming out of California. I mean, when you and I were growing up, California had such a great scene, and it seems like California's scene has really come back, and if that's a sampling of what's coming out of California, I'm really expecting a lot of great, great things out of California.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think it is making a little comeback. It's fans are popping up that have a really good sound and really good energy, and shows are starting to get exciting again. So yeah, it's a good sign.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, the direction of punk is going back to its roots. The music that just punches you in the brain, and you leave there a show feeling like, you know, it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life, and then you go to the next show the next week, and that's the greatest thing. You know, back when the golden age, when you had all these bands that were just great bands, it seems like it's going back that way, which makes me really happy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what's not to like about that? That's anytime the scene sort of makes a resurgence, going to make you know, more things to do on the weekend, more shows to go to. I mean, that was my life, you know, back then. And unfortunately, I can't do as much now, but still, I could hear it secondhand from friends.
Now, who would you say influenced the Drug Lords? I mean, it's a decidedly different influence than the Swinging Gutters and the Filthy Thieving Bastards. Who would you say would be some of the influences for the Drug Lords of the Avenues?
Well, it's definitely got Slayer in there, but it's also got Pixies and Breeders and what else? Johnny Cash, of all people. I don't know. Rob, the guitar player, is a crazy musician. But he plays in a rockabilly band with Matt called Moonshine, and they're pretty damn good. I mean, he's an amazing guitar player, and it's crazy just to walk, to be next to him on stage when we're playing these fast songs, and he's doing all this crazy guitar work, and looking at me all nervously. It's just a bizarre feeling when I'm on stage with him, but he's an amazing musician. But, yeah, it's just got all these weird qualities, and plus the influence of Grass. smoking grass and stuff like that, I think has a lot to do with it as well.
Okay, now, Johnny, is it hard to juggle the projects, as you've got three balls in the air right now with the Swinging Utters, the Filthy Thieving Bastards, and Drug Lords. Is it hard for you to juggle those?
Yeah, it's difficult, but I think the Drug Lords sort of understand that I have Swinging Utters and Filthy Thieving first, and they're unfortunately third in line for any kind of shows and stuff like that. So while I'm touring, they're trying to book shows, and I just can't commit, and I'm backing out at the last minute sometimes, and I just warn them, it's like, it's just going to be rough. It's got to be, booked sort of last minute, and we just got to work around it and work with it. But it's definitely tough. It's probably more tough for them because there's a lot of waiting around for them. But, you know, they're big boys, and they come up with new ideas and get play with new bands. And like I said, they're moonshine, but they also got other things going too. And so, yeah, it is tough, but I more feel for the other band members in Drug Lords and Filthy Thieving because, you know, once me and Darius go out on the road with Swinging Utters, it's downtime for those other two bands, so.
Right. Now, I know that Swinging Utters are heading to Europe. Are there any plans for a U.S. tour?
Yeah, I mean, we just got off one recently, but I think we plan on going back out again. October, I think there's the dates that hit Texas and Southern California. But we also got some shows with the Dropkick Murphys down south in early October. I think it's October 8th through the 12th or something like that. It's like four or five shows. And that goes mostly Southern California, but it also hits Las Vegas and San Diego. I think San Diego, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Johnny, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. It has been a real pleasure, and I want to give you the last few minutes to tell us where we can find the Swinging Utters, you and you know, the Filthy Thieving Bastards and Drug Lords of the Avenues online. And I also want to give you the chance to give out any shout-outs that you'd like. The floor is yours.
You can find us on Facebook. I'm not really into selling the band, but, you can check us out all on Facebook. I don't even know what the address would be, but... You know, Drug Lords, Filthy Thieving, and Swinging Utters are all on Facebook. I think they might even be on MySpace, too. But I have a tough time navigating through MySpace, so we've been sort of focusing on Facebook. Just keep your ears open, and your eyes open. We usually post any kind of shows on Facebook, so that's probably the best bet. I like to say hello to everyone that's listening and all the band members that put up with my shit, because I know I can sometimes be difficult, but at least I realize that, and thank them also for putting up with my shit. So, that's about it. And, Frank, thanks for having me, man. You sound like a nice guy, and I really appreciate the time.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Johnny, I'm going to end tonight with my favorite song off The Tale of Rotten Orange, and a song that's gotten really heavy rotation on San Clemente Punk, with This Is a Pig. Could you tell me a little about that before we go?
That's a song that I stole from an Elvis Costello song called Opportunity off of Get Happy. If you read those lyrics or listen to those lyrics, you'll be able to fit them into that song, Opportunity, by Elvis Costello. And Matt Grayson wrote the music, so it's got this sort of hardcore feel to it. And yeah, he just told me to sound gnarly as you can, and I tried my best, so I think it turned out pretty good, so yeah, that's it.
This is a great song, and Johnny, again, I appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to seeing you when you come through Salt Lake next time.
Cool, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
Take care, Frank.
Thanks. All right. We are going to finish off tonight with Drug Lords of the Avenue. Next week, like I said, we have Tobin Bowinkle from Blackfoot 56. And thanks for listening, guys. This show, as well as every other show on Fighting Words Radio Network, is dedicated to the memory of Robert Anthony Carroll, who is the owner and CEO of Fighting Words. We miss you dearly, Bob. This is Drug Lords of the Avenue with This Is a Pig.
I'm a dirty. This is a big, legitimate. I jumped around.